हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम गणानां त्वा गणपतिं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमं ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां तन्नो दुर्गिः प्रचोदयात् ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः सो हविंग निगेटेड द अदर स्कूल्स ऑफ थॉट अदर व्यूज ऑफ the other systems of philosophy, Gaudapada Acharya reproduced the essence of the Vedantic teaching, what has been already given in the second and third chapters, the previous chapters, in a nutshell, through different examples, until the 74th Karika. And the 75th Karika onwards until the 86th Karika, in 11 Karikas, he is discussing the fundamental human problem or the cause of the root cause of the human misery and its remedy. He helps us diagnose the actual problem of a human being. And makes it very clear that this life of transmigration involving the experience of desirable, undesirable situations in terms of pains and pleasures, the pairs of opposites, is purely because of the erroneous perception of the one's own self and the erroneous perception of the external world. And that erroneous perception caused by what? Ignorance. And it's ignorance of the truth in terms of ignorance of the truth of one's own self is the root cause of the very samsara. Samsara karanam ajnanam eva. Therefore, ajnana nivritti is the only means of resolving the problem. Here he says, actually speaking, there is no such a thing called samsaraha at all, absolutely. There is no samsaraha, there is no problem at all. Therefore, through knowledge, we are not really solving the problem, we are only dissolving the problem here. Vedanta does not, you know, solve the problem. Vedanta Shastram helps you dissolve the problem. This is the beautiful teaching, you understand. First you say only problems. After jnanam, you'll ask where is the problem. Isn't it? If there's a real problem and you have to work very hard to solve it. When there's no real problem at all, the so-called problem is caused by ignorance. In jnanam, you will have to search for the problem. Why? Because that's why the problem is not solved, only dissolved. Isn't it? And here, until the 86th Karika, all about the knowledge being the only means is repeatedly emphasized. It's not something you do not know here, but repeated emphasis, you know, is for jnanam. Emphasis is on jnanam. So let us see here. So now, after 75th onwards, it starts. Until the 86th, the same teaching will go. And we saw last class. Yadana labhate, let us see the 76th karika now. Yadana labhate hetun.
Yadana labhate hetun.
ಉತ್ತಮಾಧಮ ಮಧ್ಯಮಾನ್
ಮಧ್ಯಮಾನ್
ತದಾನ ಜಾಯತೆ ಚಿತ್ತಂ
ತದಾನ ಜಾಯತೆ ಚಿತ್ತಂ
ಹೇತ್ವಭಾವೇ ಫಲಂ ಕುತಃ
ಹೇತ್ವಭಾವೇ ಫಲಂ ಕುತಃ.
ಓಕೆ, ಸಿ ದೇರ್ ಇಸ್ ನೋ ಸಚ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ಬರ್ತ್ ಅಟ್ ಆಲ್. ಜನನಂ ಅಬ್ಸಲ್ಯೂಟ್ಲಿ ದೇರ್ ಇಸ್ ನೋ ಸಚ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ಕ್ರಿಯೇಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಯೂನಿವರ್ಸ್, ಕ್ರಿಯೇಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಇಂಡಿವಿಜುವಲ್ ಬೀಯಿಂಗ್. ದೇರ್ ಇಸ್ ನೋ ನಥಿಂಗ್ ಇಸ್ ಕ್ರಿಯೇಟೆಡ್, ದೇರ್ ಇಸ್ ನೋ ಸಚ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ಬರ್ತ್ ಆಫ್ ಎನಿಥಿಂಗ್. ವೆನ್ ದೇರ್ ಇಸ್ ನೋ ಸಚ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ಬರ್ತ್ ಅಟ್ ಆಲ್, ಹೌ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ದೇರ್ ಬಿ ಸಮಥಿಂಗ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ರೀಬರ್ತ್? The first birth itself is not there absolutely. How can there be something called rebirth? Punarjanma is not at all possible, isn't it? But still, absolutely there is neither birth nor rebirth. But relatively there is a birth, isn't it? And relatively there is a rebirth also. Punarjanma, relatively it is there, isn't it? And what is relatively there is there only as long as you do not understand what is absolutely there. Listen, once you understand what is absolutely real, in the wake of knowledge of the absolute reality, in the wake of knowledge of what is absolutely real, what is relatively real will be resolved. It will not be there, isn't it? Therefore, what is the cause of this rebirth? This, okay, relatively there is a rebirth. We talk about the punarjanma. See, choicelessly, helplessly, there is, you know, repeatedly there is a birth, repeatedly there is a death also. This choicelessly, helplessly being born again, and be subject to death again and again, coming, departing, no, again, is called what? Bandha, bondage of karma, samsaraha. The wheel of, the cycle of life of transmigration. Why? Life of transmigration is likened to a wheel. Why? It is a beginningless. It is endless. Therefore, it is a cycle. Therefore, it is a samsara chakram. Why it's not? Why it's not square? Why it's a cycle? Why it is? There is no beginning point. There is no end point. It is endless, beginningless. That is why we say what? Samsara sagaraha, samsara chakram, isn't it? We say this is a cycle, wheel of samsara, the cycle of samsara. We say this because its beginning is endless. And then there's a what choice did we have, you know, to be born or not to be born? We are here. We can't question, why am I born? Why did Bhagavan? We don't know. Because we are born. So this rebirth is what? Choiceless. Again, re-death is what? Choiceless. What choice do you have? I don't want to die. Do you have any choice? No. There is a seeming birth, there is a seeming death, which is relatively there is a birth, relatively there is a death. And this is something choiceless, continuously it is there. It is not just this is not the first birth, isn't it? The cycle of births and deaths is called a transmigratory life, and this is there. What is the cause of this? This life of transmigration is caused by your prarabdha karma phalam. As long as there is a prarabdha karma phalam, you have no choice of not being born. You have to be born again and again and again. Why? You have to exhaust the prarabdha karma phalam. You have to go through the punya papas. You have to fulfill the unfulfilled desires and wishes. So you will be born. Understand? This is because we have no choice of not being born again. We have no choice of wanting to be born somewhere in, you know, the royal family. Kate Middleton's next baby. No choice, isn't it? No choice. Because whenever you are asked to go, you are pushed to be born, you had to be born there. Now, why I'm saying here, this is a choice, that is why you call it bondage. You feel so bound by this limitation of not having any choice. And this birth, why it is there? It is purely because of the prarabdha karma phalam. Why prarabdha karma phalam is there for you? Isn't it? The prarabdha karma phalam is there because you have sanchitam, big bag of sanchitam karma phalam. Only tiny portion of sanchitam alone becomes what? Your prarabdha karma phalam, which you are which you have to exhaust. And this prarabdha is over, does it come to an end? No. Why? While exhausting the prarabdha karma phalam, you are accumulating the new karma phalam also with agami karma phalam. And agami joins sanchitam. Sanchitam remains what? Ever, is it? It's ever full deposit. Isn't it? Never gets reduced. That's why the sanchitam will ever be full. And even though exhaustion of prarabdha does not make the sanchitam less at all, it continues to be a big storage, storehouse, yam karma. For what happens now, there's no way of getting rid of this relatively real birth, punarjanma, punar. It is not something unreal, okay? It is relatively real. This rebirth and re-death, you can't help. Therefore, how long will this be there? As long as there is, the part of the karma phalam will be there. As long as sanchitam is there, as long as Parabdha is there, there will be Agami also. But here Shastram says, this karma phalam, punya papa phalam, will be there in your account only as long as you entertain the notion that you are the enjoyer. And this notion will be there as long as what? You are the doer. As long as you think you are the doer. In your thinking, notionally, you are the doer, you are the enjoyer. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Entertaining these notions is called what? Enjoyership and doership. So as long as there is the notion, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, as long as there is doership and enjoyership, there will be punya papam. So long will there be punya papam have to be exhausted. Therefore, you had to be born again. So, the cause of rebirth is punya papa palam in the form of prarabdha. Isn't it? Karma palam. The hetu. What is the hetu for janma? The hetu, the cause of rebirth, janma, is the punya papa palam in the form of prarabdha. The prarabdha is because there is sanchitam also. Anadi kalat. And here, how long will there be notion, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer notion? As long as you superimpose the limitations of the body upon the Atma, yourself. The body is involved in activities, the mind is involved in functions, sense organs are involved in functions, the sukshma and sthula, sharirani, are involved in functions and actions. Involuntary functions, voluntary activities, who are involved here? The body is involved, sukshma is involved, subtle body, gross bodies are involved in functions and actions. Isn't it? But as long as these actions, no, and all these actions on the part of the body, actions of the body or functions of the sukshma hatal body, all of them are determined within the realm of the law and order. Understand? Please understand. I'm going to give you something very subtle, the beautiful point here. Please listen carefully. The physical activities, you know, the physical body acts because of the functions of the subtle body, isn't it? All these functions, and here, what is that we are making here? What is that we make? Do we make anything act here? We are not making anything act here, anything function here. So all of them are functioning on their own, which means the functioning on their own means they're all within the realm of law and order. And therefore, wherever there is an order, there is what? Order is involved, there is definitely knowledge. And that knowledge backing the order is what? Ishvara. This is where I have to understand Ishvara. So, therefore, who is the performer of actions? Isn't it? Without the knowledge backing the order, there cannot be functions. The functions are possible because order is there. Order is possible because knowledge is there. And that knowledge backing the order and the actions, everything is what? Ishvaraha. Therefore, who is the performer of actions? If you say, you can say what? Ishvara, not the performer of everything is Ishvaraha. Really speaking. We call it Bhagavan. This one thing, one understanding of, okay, just for you to thin the ahankara. And to resolve it, you need a much more powerful weapon of knowledge. How you have to thin ahankara has to be thinned first. The fat, bloated ego has to be become made very thin and weak. Then kill. Isn't it? Killing means what here? You have to resolve it. So, understanding of Ishvara helps you thin your ahankara. Please understand this very important point. Why do we need Ishvara here? For you to understand Ishvara as a concept, Ishvara is law and order. So everything here, all the emotions, all the functions, all the actions which are relatively happening, absolutely nothing is there, okay? Relatively what is happening, whatever is relatively real is Ishvara. What is absolutely real is Brahma. Understand, there is no non-existence, I think. There is no I here, there is no individual here, that's what I wanted to say. What is relatively real is Ishvara. What is absolutely there is Brahma, reality. Where are you? Understand? Therefore, nothing is, all the actions and functions are within the realm of the law and order. That order is manifestation of Ishvara. Because order is backed by knowledge, the knowledge is manifestation of Ishvara. Knowledge is Ishvara. Therefore, there is no I here. The understanding of Ishvara first. Thereafter, therefore, the doer is Ishvara, you can say. The performer of everything is Ishvara. And here, this superimposition, I told you, when do you superimpose the dharmas of the body, mind, and complex to be your dharmas? Only when you have identity with the body, mind, and complex. Therefore, because there is wrong identity. Wrong identity. Isn't it? It's called adhyasaha. There is error in your perception. You do mistake the body, mind, and complex for yourself. See, body, mind, and complex is you. Definitely it is you. Don't say, I'm not the body, okay? What is body? You. What is your mind? You. What are your senses? You. But you are not body, mind, and complex. Okay, don't ever, if you say, I'm not the body, again, I'm different from the body. Body, to separate body, okay, duality comes. Very, very careful. Puja Swamiji makes it very, very clear. When you say, I am not the body, initial to understand, to distinguish yourself, you have to say that I am not the body. Later on, don't disown the body, okay? Understand what? Body is you, not yours. Body is you. First, initially you say, my body. Then you have to say what? Body is myself. Pranas are myself. Sense organs are myself. Understand, everything is not only this body, all the bodies are myself. It's absolutely you have that. Therefore, this identity, the error in the perception of the self, this wrong identity, the mistaken the body mind complex for yourself is purely because of your ignorance of what you are. You do not know what you are, isn't it? Therefore, Atma Jnanam leads to Adhyasa. And Adhyasa results in Adhyaropa, and because Adhyaropa alone, all the wrong notions, the attributes of the body, mind, sense complex, Sthula Shariram, Sukshma Shariram, are taken to be your attributes. Their dharmas, their nature, are taken to be your nature. Their limitations are taken to be your limitations. That is called Adhyaropaha. Because of this Adhyaropaha alone, you have this wrong notion. I am is half beautiful knowledge Bhagavan has blessed you with, and anything you add to I am is what? Your misconception. Is what? Misconception, your erroneous perception. I am fat, I am ugly, or I am beautiful. I am beauty, if you say you are wonderful. I am beautiful means you have a problem. Understand? And therefore, I am this, I am that. Anything you add is what? Erroneous notion you have about yourself, which is ahankaraha. Understood now? I am is knowledge. Half knowledge. Okay? But I am Brahman. Aham asmi. Beautiful knowledge. Aham Brahma asmi. Complete knowledge. Aham Brahmanaha asmi. Kshatriyaha asmi. Shudraha asmi. No, I am that. I am this. No, anything added becomes what? Erroneous notion you have about yourself. That is called ahankara. Understand? This ahankara implies what? All the sense of inadequacy, sense of smallness, sense of insecurity. It becomes centered on I only when you have ahankara. And this alone results in what? Desire. Desire results in action. Action produces phalam. Phalam becomes the cause of some rebirth. Understand now? This is how ajnanam becomes the root cause of bondage, samsara. And ajnanam alone results in what? The chain reaction. Finally, it becomes the cause of rebirth. Therefore, how long will there be bondage? As long as the wrong notion you have about yourself is there, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, notions are there, so long will there be phalam. As long as phalam is there, there will be rebirth. But in the wake of knowledge of the reality as one's own self, when you understand, when you change all the wrong notions, when in the wake of knowledge of yourself being Brahman, don't become Brahman, isn't it? Aham Brahma Asmi, I the knower am consciousness. I the self am the absolute limitless reality, the consciousness. When this becomes very clear, ascertained and assimilated, then in the wake of that knowledge, all the wrong notions resolve. When the notions resolve, the doership resolves, enjoyership resolves, punya papas go, and the punya papas resolve, who has the birth? Listen now, there is no real birth. Even I am born also is a notion. I am going to die is also a notion. I am mortal is a notion. It's all wrong notion, ahankara. All wrong notions resolve means there is no birth, there is no death also. That's what is said in this verse. I took a little time, doesn't matter. Hetu abhave phalam kutaha. When the punya papa phalams are not there, when the ignorance is resolved, when the superimposition is resolved, error in the perception of the self is resolved, when the ahankara is resolved, that is why you can never give up the ahankara. Understand? Puja Swamiji really banks upon it. You can never give up ahankara. Ahankara will resolve naturally in the wake of the knowledge of what you are. What is ahankara? Giving up ahankara? You are giving up ahankara. The wrong notions just drop in the wake of knowledge of what you are. That is why when the ahankara resolves, then the ahankara caused, ahankara means all the wrong notions resolve. The wrong, erroneous notion about the self caused problems. Also, punya papam also is not there, janma also is not there. That is what is said here, hetu abhave phalam kutaha. When the cause is resolved, how can there be phalam effect? Therefore, there is no birth. So, what happens? Tada chittam na jayate. Then there is no even relative birth also. You know that before he was born, now he is not born. No. There is no birth at all. When the notion, I am born notion goes, you are not born. I am born notion is there, you are born. You are really not born. Understand what I am saying? There is no real birth at all. I am born is what? The notion. I am a mortal is what? The notion. These notions go means you are not born or you are not a mortal also. The notions will go only when in the wake of the knowledge of what you are really. That's what is said in the 76th Karika. Now let us go to the next verse. It takes so long for me to complete the alpha to summarize. I'm sure even this is a very kindergarten class actually. Repetition of the introduction class this is. I'm not giving because Gaudapada Acharya wants to give us. He gives us the same thing, isn't it? Animittasya chittasya
Animittasya chittasya
Yanutpatti samadvaya
Yanutpatti
samadvaya Ajatasyaiva sarvasya
Ajatasyaiva sarvasya
Chitta drishyam hi tadyataha
Chitta drishyam hi tadyataha.
Okay. Now he says, Animittasya chittasya Ya anutpattihi. In this verse, the 77th Karika gives an answer for the possible doubt that might arise after listening to the meaning of this 76th Karika. The 76th Karika, it is mentioned, Yada Uttama Adhama Madhyaman Hetu Na Labhate Tada Chittam Na Jayate. Which means, the tada chittam na jayate means what? Then there is mokshaha. There is no rebirth. There is videha muktihi. There is freedom. Tada na jayate means, then there is freedom. Then there is mokshaha. Then there is no rebirth. When there is no rebirth, yada, when a person becomes free from all punya papams. When a person becomes all punya papams, when a person becomes free from all forms of parabdha karma phalam, all sanchitam karma phalam, all agami karma phalam, a person becomes completely free from all punya papams. When does he become free from punya papams? When he becomes free from the notion, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. All the wrong notions go about the self resolve, the punya papams also resolve. See, all the punyams and papams, all the merits, all the desirable, undesirable fruits of actions, in the form of punyam and papam will resolve simultaneously along with the resolution of the wrong notions of the self. In the wake of the knowledge of the self, when the wrong identity is resolved, isn't it? So when in the wake of the knowledge, when the wrong notions resolve, all the punya papams go, then this person becomes what? Free from rebirth, free from samsara. This is the teaching of the 76th Karika, isn't it? Because the words yada and tada are used. Yada means when, tada means then. Because the time is mentioned, therefore immediately we will think, when the wrong notions resolve, when a person becomes free from punya papams, when the knowledge takes place, then alone the person attains moksha. I'm repeating it. When the ignorance is resolved, in the wake of knowledge, when the ignorance resolves, when the wrong notions resolves, all punya papams go, only then the person attains freedom. The person becomes free from bondage. Means, when these two indicable words are used, we think what? Until the knowledge takes place, there is bondage. Only after the knowledge takes place, the freedom comes newly. Which means, what is the possible mistake? We can think freedom, mokshaha, is a something new event, a new happening, a new, understand now, something which comes newly. Which means moksha is created by knowledge. Moksha was not there before. Moksha comes newly. Moksha is created after the knowledge. After the resolution of the ignorance, then moksha comes, means moksha has a beginning. Isn't it? Moksha begins only after the resolution of the ignorance and the ignorance caused problems. Which means it is possible for us to think that moksha is an event which happens at a particular time. After resolving the ignorance, moksha begins newly. And he says, no. Moksha is not something which begins newly. Freedom implies what? Happiness, fullness, limitlessness, isn't it? Sorrowlessness. That freedom does not begin newly. It is not an event which happens after the not being born. Is not something happens after the knowledge. I was really born all the time before. After knowledge, I am not born. That's not true, isn't it? But this moksha is something, not something created newly, which is not an event which happens newly. What does it mean then? Moksha is the very swarupam of yourself. When Shastram says, you are consciousness, you are the truth, means your real nature is happiness, fullness, being free from limitations, freedom, limitlessness is your very nature. If you are not born, means your nature of limitlessness also what? Does not begin. Understand? Therefore, moksha is not an event. If moksha has a beginning, that moksha will come to an end, then that temporary moksha is not worth attaining. Understand? Moksha is not something which has a beginning, means it will have an end. We say, understand, therefore, moksha is not something which begins. What does it mean? Moksha is your very nature. Mokshaha, the freedom from limitations, is equal to limitlessness. Limitlessness is equal to fullness. Fullness is equal to happiness. So, moksha is equal to what? Happiness, which is your nature.
your swarupam.
Therefore, moksha does not begin. Understand? Happiness does not begin. The fire is hot means the heat in fire does not come and join the heat fire newly. Isn't it? It is always its intrinsic nature. Similarly, mokshaha, implied meaning of the word mokshaha is limitlessness, happiness or fullness. And that happiness is what? Freedom is your very real nature. You are ever free. You are not bound by anything else. What can bind you here? What can limit the consciousness? Therefore, this verse, he gives a beautiful answer. Animittasya chittasya. Here, the jivatma, chittam here means the jivatma. The jivatma, who is free from, no, who is what now? Animittasya. Animittam is what now? Which is free from the cause of rebirth. What is the cause of samsara? Nimittam is what? Nimittam for the samsara is the ignorance, isn't it? That ignorance is not there. So, animittasya jivatma, animittasya chittasya means the jivatma, now who is free from now, who is free from the ignorance, and the ignorance caused to problems, isn't it? The nimittam free. Ya anutpattihi. Anutpattihi means freedom. Anutpattihi means what? The absence of samsara. Anutpattihi means birthlessness. Non-createdness. Which anutpattihi implies here mokshaha. The videha muktihi, which has been said. That videha muktihi or mokshaha. Okay? The mokshaha which is now the jiva enjoys as a result of knowledge is not something new. Sama. Sama means what? Sarvasu avasthasu. It is always there as the very real nature. See, even before you become free from bondage also, you are free. Where was the bondage? In your notion alone, there was bondage. You were never bound. You were free before. You are free now. You will ever be free. Freedom is your very nature. Your swarupam. You were happiness before. You were fullness before. You were of the nature of limitlessness before. You are of the nature of limitless now. You will ever be of the nature of limitlessness because that is your intrinsic nature. Sorrowlessness, happiness, fullness, limitlessness is your real nature. Is you. Fullness is you. Happiness is you. Limitlessness is you. That is you. You can tell the heat what? You are fire, isn't it? So you are fullness. I don't even say your nature. Okay, for the sake of understanding, I'm using the word your nature. Your swarupam is happiness, means you are happy. Happiness is you. Happiness is you. The word shatam repeat, this is a fact. I can't really see. That is the problem. Not seeing is the problem. That is you, you. Which means you were always, you were ever, you were always happiness, fullness. You are happy, happiness is you now. Happiness will ever be you. You are, that is your real nature. Which means, you are eternal reality. So your nature also is what? Eternal. Which means you never attain moksha. But what is attainment now? Attainment of moksha is a figurative expression for, isn't it? That you need not attain moksha. Understand? Understanding the fact that I am ever free is what? Implied figuratively as I attain moksha, as attainment of moksha. Anyway, so that is always there and that is advaya, non-dual. Happiness is what? One, not, here please understand, equate the word happiness to moksha. Then understand the fullness, the limitlessness, the happiness is non-dual. secondless, and sama. It is always there in all periods of time. Never does fire become cold, even for a, even in London, fire is ever hot. Isn't it? Which means, even if you go to, you know, which means what? You are ever fullness. Therefore, sama means all, Shankara Bhagavatpada gives, sarvasu avasthasu, sarvada. Always you are, there was never a time you were not fullness. There is never a time you are not fullness. There will never be a time you will not be fullness. You were, you are, you will ever be fullness, 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 happiness, happiness, limitlessness. Okay, purna, purnosi. You have to say what? Aham purnosmi. I am of the nature of fullness. Advayosmi, I am of the nature of oneness. Isn't it? Which means sama advaya. See, not only you are consciousness, you are Brahma, and consciousness is of the nature of fullness, means you are of the nature of fullness. You are of the nature of limitlessness. You are of the nature of happiness. For you are of the nature of freedom. You are ever free. Therefore, freedom does not begin. If freedom begins, it will end. Therefore, freedom is not an event. On one particular day, at auspicious time, one fine day, under one particular tree, you have to sit and meditate. And suddenly you will have this enlightenment. Suddenly you attain moksha. No. Shastram says, no. You can never attain freedom. You are discovering freedom which is already there. Understand? See, I'm not teaching anything new. Everything is old lesson. I'm not repeating. Gaudapada Acharyaji is repeating. Don't complain. Because already you're all jnanis. You're tired of listening to me. You know, more teaching is required for you. But still, ya anutpatihi, that freedom. Anutpatihi here implies what? Anutpatihi means non-creation, non-production. The literally, it what is the implied meaning? Dimokshaha. Isn't it? Anutpatihi is equal to mokshaha. The mokshaha, which is there now, sama advaya, which is not something newly attained, when the ignorance goes, then the moksha comes. That's what mistaken for arrival of moksha. There's a time ignorance goes, then moksha comes newly. No, it doesn't come here, which is already there. What is already there, isn't it, becomes evident. Ajatasyaiva sarvasya chitta drishyam hi tad yataha. If moksha does not come, then what about samsara? Moksha is eternal. What is samsara then? Samsara is mithya. Abba, what a beautiful thing to know. Samsara is mithya. If moksha is eternal, which is already there, the in knowledge you only take ownership of what is already there. You are not attaining anything new here. Similarly, what about samsara then? The next line says, ajatasyaiva sarvasya chitta drishyam hi tadyataha. Therefore, so ajatasya sarvasya means, here everything being atma. No, sarvasya means the atma which is the home of everything, which is the truth of everything, which alone is there in the home of everything. That atma, here the chutri atma, is what now is of the nature of beginninglessness and changelessness, the causeless, isn't it? That atma, chitta drishyam here means mithya. The samsara is only mithya. There is no real samsara. There is no real attainment of moksha. There is no real bondage. we are struggling so hard to resolve the mithya bondage. Is there absolute samsara? Absolutely real samsara, is it there? No. What is absolutely real is you are the only absolute reality. You alone are absolutely real. Everything else here is your own manifestation, your own appearance, which is mithya. Understand now? The mithya is you. You are satyam. Mithya is you. There is nothing other than you. There is what? There is nothing other than yourself. All that is here is you. It is all you. You are the whole. Isn't it? That is what repeatedly emphasized here, which means mithya. Tad yataha chitta drishya means mithya. The samsara, which is seemingly there, is also what? Not really there, which is mithya. Samsara is mithya. Therefore, what now? Limitlessness is your nature. It is satyam. Freedom is satyam because absolutely real, which is your, isn't it? You do not, attainment of moksha is not absolutely real. Is it clear now? Attainment of moksha is not absolutely real. Such a mithya attainment of mithya freedom is a mithya bondage. Bondage is mithya, attainment of freedom is mithya. And what is absolute then? The freedom, which is your nature, is absolute because you are absolute. The attainment is mithya. Here, for which Swamiji gives a beautiful example. Now, there is an ashram, and there, in the ashram, there is one brahmachari, and every brahmachari is given some job. And his job is, every day he has to take the cows from the cow shed, and take him, you know, he has released them for going grazing. And in the evening, he has to, when they get dark, they'll come back to the shed and he has to tie them back. He has to again feed them. That is his job. One brahmachari is given job. And every day, so he goes to the cow shed, goshtam, and he really unties all the cows. And and all the cows go. And again, evening when they finish grazing, come back and he gives them water. He'll put other feed also. Then he'll tie them again. He'll tie them all to the cow shed. But one day, as he was, all the cows came back, and he was tying the cows one after the other, one by one. And when he came near the last he was about to tie, he heard his guru calling. So he just left it. He just bent like this to tie the cow, but he did not tie the cow. And because he heard guru calling, immediately he just left it as it is and he went inside. He did not come back. He was involved, preoccupied with guru's some work he was given. He did not tie and he became tired and he fell asleep. The next day morning, he realized, oh my God, I did not tie that last cow. I came inside, I remained here, I did not go back to tie the cow, that the other cow I did not tie. Okay, so he next day morning, he goes to the cow shed. He again unties each, all the cows. And then he was just chasing them for grazing. The last cow came and he remembered that he did not tie last night. He forgot to come back to tie the cow. So he thought, okay, I did not tie. So he just said, without bending and untying it, he was just chasing the cow to go for grazing. But the cow does not move. It stands there itself. When he thought, come on, go for grazing. Other cows have gone. And he really take some stick and also he was beating, but still the cow would not move. And he, my God, today how much he struggled to chase the cow for, sending for grazing, it was not going. Then he went to the guru and he said, "My God, all the cows have gone for grazing. Today is a wondrous, my good teacher. This cow does not move from its place. I don't know why it's not moving. I don't know what's wrong with that." The cow, guru said, "Did you tie last night?" He said, "No." "Did you untie today?" "No." "No, you bend last night, but you did not tie." "The cow thinks it is tied." Okay? "Today go and bend, and again you act as though you're untying the cow." And he went there, the bend, and he just bent, acted as though he was untying the cow mode. Which means what? We're all like the cows now. The untied cow. Because it's all in buddhi. Therefore, you were never tied, you are never bound. So you are not going to be released also. Okay? All in your buddhi, the notion has to go. And there's other story. So sometime I tell you, okay? If you're tired of it, it's the same old Vedanta. This is a mullah story. There is a mullah. And who always has a very different type of thinking, okay? It's a full moon day. Purnima dinam. Okay? Full moon day. It's a bright. It's India. No? Not even London. Full moon, very difficult to see here sometimes in winter. In full moon, here also is very nice. Sometimes August, September, very nice sun, moon, full moons we have here. The full moon day, and then he was walking, and as he was walking, because there's a well, and he was just curious to know what was in the well. Simply he can walk. Nobody gets this idea, isn't it? Suddenly he went into the, went near the well, and then he saw the well was, lot of water was there in the well, and he saw the reflection of the full moon. Because the mullah, okay, and he thought, "Oh my God, the moon has fallen into the well. Somehow I have to lift this moon." What he did, he tied that, you know, he put a really, he put a big rope, noose with the hook at the end, and he pushed it into the well. And what happened? That rope really, that noose really got stuck with some big, very heavy rock in the water. And he thought, "Oh, very good. Really, it has gone, really, it is, now it is, the moon got hooked in my rope." And he was pulling and pulling and pulling. Why? Because he wanted to take the moon out of the well. He was pulling, and because in between what happened, somehow the rope got cut. When the rope got cut, because of the pulling, he fell down. When he fell down, he saw the moon above, and he thought, "What? Even though I fell down, I have very big back pain. Still doesn't matter. It's worth doing all heavy work. The moon has gone up." Understand? The moon has gone to its place back. What does it mean? Shastram says we are all idiots. We are all like mullahs only. Because moon never fell into the well. And moon was never lifted also. Back to the sky. But his falling down was good, wasn't it? If he did not fall, he would have been working hard, isn't it? Because it got stuck. And then when he fell down, he could see that. This is how moksha is. Understand? Which means you never attain moksha. See, chitta drishyam tad yataha means because samsaraha is mithya. There's no real samsaraha. There is attainment of moksha also is not real, it is mithya. Why? Because attainment of moksha is mithya means mokshaha is your real eternal swarupam. There is no beginning. बुद्ध्वा निमित्ततां सत्यां हेतुं पृथगनाप्नुवन् वीतशोकं तथा कामम् अभयं पदमश्नुते सो द वर्ड बुद्ध्वा सी गौडपादाचार्यजी एम्फसाइजेस ज्ञानम् बुद्ध्वा हैविंग डिस्कवर्ड हैविंग नोन having recognized one's real nature, having understood one's swarupam, buddhva, arinda pirahu, means knowing. See, having recognized one's real nature, being consciousness, having recognized the turiyam, being the reality, one's own self. See, I, the experiencer, obtaining in this waking state as experience of this universe, I, the experience of this external world, am not the experiencer of this universe. I am absolutely, relatively, I am the experiencer. Absolutely, I, the experiencer, I, the Vishwaha, am Turiya Atma, the consciousness. I, the experiencer, the Taijasa, the dream, which I was there as experiencer of the dream in my sleep, no, dream, I, the experiencer, am not the Taijasa. Relatively, I was a Taijasa, but I am absolutely Turiya Chaitanyam, the consciousness. I, the experiencer, obtaining in the deep sleep state, not knowing my own existence, also what I am absolutely the consciousness, the Turiya Chaitanyam. I, the knower, the experiencer, obtaining in all the three states of experience, states of mind, am absolutely the Turiyam, the consciousness. I, the experiencer, am consciousness. I, the Vishwaha, I, the Taijasaha, I, the Prajnaha, am absolutely consciousness, whose Turiya Atma, which is not the Taijasa, not the Prajna, not the Vishwaha. I, the experiencer, am consciousness, but I, the consciousness, am, what now? I, the consciousness, am not the experiencer. I, the experiencer, am consciousness. I am Turiya Chaitanyam. Is it clear? This knowledge, when you attain through the Shravana Manana Nidhi Dhyasanam, with the help of the teacher you do Shravanam, with the help of the teacher you do Mananam, but without the teacher's help you can be contemplative. The teacher's help is not required anymore for contemplation. Isn't it? In contemplation, you are independently contemplative after the Shravanam and Mananam, which you had with the help of the teacher. And through Nididhyasanam, when you have the assimilated vision of yourself being the Brahman, absolutely I am consciousness. This must become your clear understanding. Having attained that vision, Buddha, then animittatam satyam. When the ignorance, being free from ignorance, which is the cause of samsara, animittatam satyam is what? When there is no ignorance, which is the cause of samsara, hetum prithag anapnuvan, there is no other cause of samsara. Once ignorance is resolved, there is nothing, there is no cause of samsara. There is no cause of samsara. Prithag anapnuvan, which means what? Ignorance is the only cause of samsara. Ignorance is resolved means there is only freedom, which is your real nature, isn't it? Therefore, this person, Vita Shokaha, in resolving no other cause being there, Anyat Hetum, see, Prithag Hetum Anapnuvan. There is no other cause. After having resolved ignorance, having discovered freedom, having understood one's real nature being Turiyatma, where not seeing anything else here other than Atma, this person becomes free from grief. Vita Shokaha Bhavati. Which means for him the grief also resolves, the sorrow resolves, all the pains resolve, all the problems resolve. Along with the problems, the pain also resolves. Vita Shokaha Bhavati. Not only that, when the grief goes means Tatha Vita Kamaha Bhavati. He becomes free from all desires also. No more binding desires, which means he is not dependent on the fulfillment of desires for his happiness anymore. Isn't it? Which means Vita Kamaha means he is not dependent on desires, fulfillment of desires for his happiness anymore. He is free from the hold of ragadveshas. He becomes free from the hold of desires. He becomes free from the hold of what? Sorrow, the grief. Then, abhayam padam ashnute. Abhayam here means what? Utter fearlessness. And he implies insecurity. He becomes what? Free from the sense of insecurity centered on I. The worst of the human problems, the most powerful human problem is what? The sense of insecurity centered on I. Isn't it? Abhayam padam ashnute means he becomes free from insecurity. Which means he discovers his real self being the security. He does not feel secure. In knowledge, he discovers his own self being, his real self being the security. The only source of security is yourself. That is why knowledge is what? Jnanam Abhayam. The fearlessness, where you feel absolutely protected. Where, that's why knowledge is the only protection. Knowledge is the only source of security. In fact, you are the source of security. Therefore, abhayam padam ashnute means, abhaya pada, he attains the security means, he doesn't attain security, he discovers the self being the very source of security. Such a person who is no more dependent on the fulfillment of desires for his security or happiness. Vita Shokaha Bhavati, Vita Kamaha Bhavati, and also Abhayam Padam Ashnute. He becomes free from the desires, free from the hold of desires, free from the. It implies what? He becomes free from all the sixfold enemies. See, that what is it which causes mental commotion, disturbance? You know, the missing itself in the world is because, again, the sense of insecurity, the fear, you know, jealousy, hatred, anger, likes, dislikes, all these are all symptoms of actually the sense of insecurity. And all of them will sense of smallness centered on I. The sense of insecurity centered on I will resolve. And the sense of smallness centered on I will resolve. Sense of inadequacy centered on I will resolve. Three aspects, very important thing. The sense of smallness centered on I resolves. The sense of inadequacy centered on I resolves. The sense of insecurity centered on I resolves. When? in the wake when very I is resolved in consciousness. Everything centered on I resolves when the very I is resolved in Atma, the consciousness. Which means you discover yourself being the source of security. That is when you become free from the sense of insecurity. This wise person becomes free from the sense of insecurity centered on I, which is freedom from insecurity. This person becomes free from the hold of ragadveshas, likes and dislikes, hold of desires, because this person is free from the dependence upon the fulfillment of desires for his happiness. And this person becomes free from sorrow, because happiness in the wake, because he's resolved his sorrow. But sorrow resolves when the sense of smallness centered on I resolves, the sorrow resolves. See, the pain, any degree of pain one experiences in one's life is what? Is actually manifestation of triggered the sense of smallness. No, the triggering of the sense of smallness which is dormant in your subconscious. Anything which triggers this smallness centered on I, when that surfaces, along with that comes the pain. Have you ever diagnosed this problem so beautifully like this? What is sorrow? What is pain? If you say hurt, guilt, any degree of pain one experiences in one's life, Shastram says it is nothing but triggering of the sense of smallness centered on I, which is dormant in your subconscious. How long will that be there sitting underneath, popping up in between, up, surfacing up and making you unhappy all the times? As long as ignorance is there. Isn't it? In the wake of knowledge, Buddha, Buddha, Gaudapacharya ji repeats, Buddha, having recognized one's real nature, having distinguished the self from the non-self, having recognized one's real nature, having resolved everything I sense in reality, having resolved everything else in reality, discovering the oneness of oneself, discovering the non-duality of one's real nature, discovering the secondlessness of one's real nature, one's real nature, and this person becomes free from the very fundamental problem of sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy, sense of insecurity centered on I. Thereby he by resolving these wrong notions, he becomes free from sorrow, free from desires, free from sense of insecurity. Therefore he discovers himself being the source of security. There is no security other than one's self. This knowledge of oneself being the security is the absolute strength, absolute fearlessness. Utter fearlessness is absolute fearlessness. Absolute fearlessness is what? Knowledge. Security is knowledge. What is security? Knowledge is security. Security is strength. Ignorance is insecurity. Insecurity is weakness. Understand? What is strength? What is weakness? Okay. I think I should give you time for having tea and come back. And please bear with me today. We have to cover a few more verses. Okay. Nice verses are following. Please go and come.